and welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode number 23, recorded on October 10th, 2013, Liturgical Football. In this episode, we talk about the CFL and the NFL, an epic Broncos game on Sunday that one of us sadly missed. Major League Baseball playoffs are ongoing, and fighting in hockey. All that and much more next. And yes, we are back for another exciting episode of the Sports Fathers. I'm Father Daryl Millett in the beautiful location of Watson, Saskatchewan. Joining me today, we have Father Travis Mierheim in Prince Albert. Hello, Father Travis.
Well, greetings and peace.
How's it going?
Excellent, thank you. Yeah, it's been a good day.
Very good. And also joining us for the first time today is Father Steve Morrissey in Saskatoon, a Redemptorist priest at St. Mary's Parish. Hello, Father Steve.
Hello, Father Daryl. Hello, Father Travis. How are you guys today?
We're doing awesome.
Great. Excellent. Thanks for asking.
Really good to be here. Yeah.
So, Father Steve, we haven't had you on before. Whereabouts are you originally from? How long have you been a priest? All that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm originally from Ottawa, Ontario. I was born and raised just outside of Ottawa. I was born there, but raised in Ottawa. I've been a priest for almost 18 years, and I have had the chance to serve as a priest in Sudbury, Ontario, Grand Prairie, Alberta, St. John's, Newfoundland, and now I'm here in Saskatoon.
That's pretty awesome.
So I've looked around a little bit.
Very cool. And you're probably going to be then, what, like a Red Blacks fan when the Red Blacks join the CFL?
That would be the plan. I do live here in Saskatoon, so I know what kind of the Riders at one point wore red and black here. So if they want to wear red and black in Ottawa now, that'd work out just fine by me too.
But that could get really confusing.
Yeah, it could, but I think I'll be okay.
Sounds good. Well, why don't we start talking about the CFL here, assuming I can never get a proper sentence out. So the CFL is rushing onwards towards the playoffs, and there are a couple of teams that are in pretty much, well, disarray. One of which I think is just, I don't know what's gone on with the Edmonton Eskimos. They started off the season, they lost a few close games here and there, but lately, oh my goodness, the last game against Montreal, they just, they looked like they threw in the towel. I don't know what went on. Did you guys see that game?
I only watched a few minutes of it, but when I saw how badly Edmonton was doing, I didn't bother watching all beyond from that.
Same here. When it was 31-3 at halftime, I thought, well, there's no sense wasting my time.
Yeah, and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish were playing that night, and so I was like, I'm watching that game instead.
Do you watch college football quite a bit?
I have in the past. I haven't watched too much lately, but I have watched a fair bit in the past, yeah.
Yeah. Take for any team?
Well, of course, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I mean, knowing that they have Touchdown Jesus, and that really is the head of the Catholic Church, I cheered for them a little bit, yeah. And of course, coming from Eastern Canada, so I cheered a little bit for the Syracuse Orangemen, a little bit there, but much more I cheered for the NFL teams, because the New York Jets have the same white and green color as my high school did, and the same white and green color as the Riders. So I think that's a pretty fair bet to cheer for there, too.
You know, that's a good point. I hadn't considered the colors of the team. I should have. You figure that would have been one of the first things that came to my mind.
Yeah.
I'm losing it. Or someone would say I never had it to begin with.
That's true.
Thanks for the support.
Daryl, I often like to talk a fair bit, too, though. In terms of the white and green, we as Catholic priests wear white and green as our liturgical colors, and we put the white and green away until we get to the Feast of Christ the King or Great Cup Sunday, whichever comes first.
True.
So I think we're pretty safe there.
I'm always conflicted what to do, though, especially when Grey Cup Sunday ends up on the first Sunday of Advent and it's purple.
Why is that confusing? You wear green and white.
Have you done that before?
No, I haven't. In fact, my chasuble, too, is green and gold because it's got a gold chalice on the front.
Oh, well, yeah, but you're wearing an alb underneath, so it's all good.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, when I was ordained a priest, the Ottawa Senators were just getting going then, a stronger team. And it happened to be Easter season, and so Mike Pushner's bought me an Ottawa Senators jersey, and I wore that as a white jersey. So it worked out perfect. That's
a physical player. I remember the one time on Grey Cup Sunday, it was the first Sunday of Advent, the Riders were in the game. So I wore the purple chasuble just like we're supposed to. I was a good little priest, but I wore sandals and green socks.
That works.
Huh.
It looked pretty ridiculous, actually. And the Riders lost, so maybe I should stop doing that. But anyway. Yes.
So the power rankings, the Riders are still fourth in the rankings, eh?
Yeah, what do those rankings ever do for us anyway?
Good point.
I agree with them when the Riders are placed up nice and high. But actually, they're usually pretty close. So who do they have up at the top?
Calgary.
Yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Father Darrell and Father Travis, have either of you guys heard, what are we going to do with the new defensive end now? With West coming over from Winnipeg. Now we've got three defensive ends. So are we going to play them in rotation or play all three of them at the same time, just using one of them as a tackle? Or?
That's a good question. So Alex Hall was just traded to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And Hall is the sack leader in the league right now. So that's quite an amazing trade. I haven't heard exactly what they were going to do. I heard some rumblings that possibly Terrius George might be rotated out more, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think that would work. I could also see, I mean, just the way I'm looking at it right now, giving Foley a little playoff here and there so that way Foley gets a bit more energy when he comes back on the field.
Yeah, you know, I could see that. Give him a little bit of rest and then they can go full tilt.
Yes. Because I think Jonathan Chick would have learned an awful lot in his NFL years, but he's a really good player to have back in town. I'm really happy that he's around.
Yes.
And three defensive ends is going to be a good thing.
It's pretty amazing.
Maybe they'll get one of them to drop back as an outside linebacker or something like that, too.
True, true. Actually, part of me is just almost more glad that Calgary didn't pick up Hall, because that was the other rumor that was kicking around out there, was that the Stampeders were actually looking to trade for him, and the Riders ended up landing him. So I almost consider that as much of a win as the fact that he's actually going to be playing for the Riders.
And, of course, in the early part of the 2000s, I was living in Grand Prairie, Alberta, and people around there were often saying ABC, anybody but Calgary. So it's pretty good thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we got four games left in this season. You guys, what do you guys, we're Edmonton's coming here on Saturday, then BC's in town, then we're going to Calgary, and then Edmonton's coming again.
You're going to Calgary?
You know what I mean.
This is the joy of this podcast when we're talking to people living in Saskatchewan, because we identify so strongly with this team. We're playing the Edmonton Oilers. We're playing the Edmonton Eskimos. We just defeated BC. We lost to Winnipeg in the Banjo Bowl somehow.
Mm. If I can be at all biased in that stuff that Travis was just telling us about, I would love to see Edmonton do a little bit good in those games when Edmonton comes and plays Saskatchewan, only because chances are pretty good that Joseph is going to be back in Ottawa again next year. So I'd like to see Joseph have a little bit of a couple of good reps, just like he did earlier this year.
Do you think they're going to pick up Kerry Joseph in the expansion draft?
I have a feeling that Kerry Joseph's career is going to end in Ottawa, just like it started in Ottawa. And he may wind up being the second or third string or whatever, or maybe some kind of quarterback coach. But I have a feeling that he's going back to Ottawa.
Hmm. That would be very interesting.
Yeah.
We talked about that in our last podcast, didn't we? That it might be Joseph.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, they might pick up whoever Toronto doesn't protect.
Yes.
You know, so if Toronto protects Ricky Ray, they pick up Kolaros or vice versa. That would be where my money would go if I had money to go.
I wonder how Kolaros would do if he was to come to Regina. I mean, Durant is going to need a backup at some point in time, so maybe Kolaros might move over here, too.
Hmm. I wonder what Toronto would demand in a trade for that.
Probably a bit too much. Yeah.
Gotta love the... how many people love Durant again, eh?
Yeah.
They win a game and the bandwagon's full again.
Well, I think it was Sheets that won the game.
Sheets and the O-line played amazing. Amazing what can happen when Darian Durant has more than half a steamboat to throw the ball.
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the great things by having Sheets back is at least the opposition knew that we could do two things. We could pass or run, not just pass all the time, which made a bit of a difference.
So did you guys see the story last week prior to the game where Darian Durant got fined by the league for an obscene tweet? Where basically he cussed out a particular fan who was criticizing his play.
Yeah, well, we've all done that though, right? Oh, no?
What, yeah, we probably cussed out a few.
Although I think there's almost something, you can almost see with him getting mad at this fan, it almost seemed to help his play. I don't know. I know some people were saying this is one of the best things that anyone ever did for him.
That's funny. I saw, I guess he tweeted again about taking donations to pay his fine.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, some people were going to pay his fine, and then he tweeted out and said, oh, don't do that. Pay to this charity. I guess G. Roy Simon has some sort of a charity that helps provide jackets to disadvantaged kids or something. So, that was pretty classy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know last year on Nike Columbus here, they made a lot of coats for kids. So that's a pretty good thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then after the game in BC, Darian Durant's very first tweet was looks left, looks right, safe to tweet.
That was awesome.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Speaking about the game in BC, what did you guys think of the BC uniforms?
Oh, I don't.
I know now that they've pulled it a couple times, but
they're absolutely terribly gross.
So BC has as a third jersey basically an entirely black uniform, and the numbers are only visible because there's a thin orange outline for the numbers.
Right.
And yeah, I honestly don't know how the ref is able to tell who is eligible for whatever. You can't see the number.
Yeah, that's true too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the only good thing, I keep watching BC periodically is because of one of their former defensive backs used to play for Ottawa, and now he's leading the league in interceptions, and he's doing a great job. So I keep watching Ottawa, watching them to see how Banks is going to come out.
Yes, that Banks is quite the player. He's scary. Yeah. Remember when he schmucked into the goalpost in Regina a couple years ago, though?
Yes.
Full tilt. Got up again. To his credit, he got up again, but yikes. So in the CFL, of course, for our listeners, the goalposts are near the front of the end zone. They're slightly curved inward about, what, a yard or two into the end zone, but it's quite possible for a player to run full steam into one of them. They're padded, of course, right, but still.
Yeah, and as a former high school coach, I've seen a few players run into them hard.
Ouch.
It does hurt, but they can also serve as a little bit of a decoy. You can get your wide receivers to work around them and lose defensive tackles.
And did you notice that Weston Dressler for Saskatchewan seemed to use it as a pick play on his touchdown this last weekend? He kind of ran, you know, Dressler's a short guy, about my size. Well, my height. He's not as sizable as me, but he's about my height. It almost seemed like he was just kind of hiding in front of the goalpost, and then he slipped out and caught the touchdown.
Yeah, I did see that. And I think that was a great use of Adele. He's a very talented player.
Yes. So that's pretty good for CFL. NFL, did you guys see any of these games over this last weekend?
I did watch the New York Jets game on Sunday night, and they did a great job. If they can keep winning like that with really the third-string quarterback, and he's doing a fabulous job. So the New York Jets right now are 3-2, as far as I know, and I think they're playing really exciting football.
And with a third-string quarterback, that's pretty impressive.
Yes. Well, I mean, I know when he was playing college ball, he was much more than third-string. But so right now, if you look on the New York Jets depth chart, he's down there.
Right. And I know there were a number of priests, Father Travis was one of them, Father David was another one, who were tweeting out on Sunday night about how this one game, this Broncos game, was one of the most exciting things they'd ever seen. And of course, me being the great sports fan I am, I completely missed it. I'm awesome.
I was out for supper, so I missed most of the game, but I caught the last half, and it was exciting. the Cowboys are now 2-3 after their loss. So it was 51-48. It was just an offensive shootout. And Peyton Manning for the Broncos is just an insane quarterback. And we were talking before the podcast, Father Darrell, right, about how the defense didn't really come out to play. And that's true for the high score like that. But, I mean, Tony Romo for the Cowboys and Peyton Manning for the Broncos, I mean, they were tearing it up too. So, like, I mean, that makes a bit of a difference. The Broncos are just insane. Like, they're a 5-0 team. I mean, I think they're Super Bowl contenders for sure.
And I missed it all.
Yeah, it was fun. It's going to be a game that's going to be talked about for a while.
Yeah, Father Travis, it sounds like you're a bit of a Broncos fan. Have the Broncos had a chance to play the Jets yet?
I am not actually a Broncos fan. I'm unfortunately a Vikings fan.
Ah, okay.
who are 1-3. We're not having a good year. But I'm just going to take a look. And it doesn't... No, it doesn't look like we've played the Jets yet.
No. Do you think that game is due to come up? I haven't looked at the Jets' full schedule yet, so I haven't seen the last couple of weeks of their schedule.
So are you a Jets fan?
Big time, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, got to cheer for somebody. And with that huge sack exchange back in the 1980s, back when I was in high school, that sack exchange convinced me that I need to be a Jets fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got a good reason, yes.
No,
and I mean, I probably like most Jets fans, we're all pretty impressed back in 1968 when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl win in Super Bowl III. So that's a pretty good reason to cheer for the Jets too. I don't think they've won one since, but
yeah,
I think they're holding on to that one.
Hey, it's like the Riders too, in a way. Sigh. 100 plus years, we got three great cups. I mean, this year I've been kind of more pulling for the Chicago Bears just because I very much respect Coach Mark Trestman, what he did when he was with the Alouettes, even though he torched the Riders a couple times with the Alouettes. He's, you know, obviously a very skilled coach. They started out pretty good. I think they were, 3-0 starting out, but now they've dropped a couple. So 3-2, still not bad.
Yeah, I like him very much because, I mean, Trestman was a guy who showed up out of the United States, came up to Montreal, did some exciting things, and kept those exciting things going with the Bears. Very, very humble. It's a great kind of attitude to have in a coach.
Yeah, he always strikes me as one of those guys who, you know, if they do well, he doesn't get too excited. If they do poorly, he doesn't get too excited. And, you know, I think just a good calming presence for the team, like a good coach would be. Well, like what I think a good coach would be anyway. I guess, what do I know? I've never played this game, so. But hey, that's my opinion. Yeah.
The armchair coach.
Exactly. Yeah, throw it to G-Roy Simon more often. I mean, come on. Anyway. Well, how about we talk about that other sport that uses a ball that seems to have a lot of stuff going on in October? And I don't mean lacrosse. Actually, I have no idea if they have anything going on or not. But baseball, of course.
Yeah, I mean, the most exciting time for me when I was following baseball is just back in October, back in 1981, when the Montreal Expos were having a really strong season back then.
Uh-huh.
But I must confess, I haven't paid that much attention since. I watched a little bit, but...
Yeah, well, the Blue Jays World Series run...
Yes.
Of course, both of those. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but when the 94 strike or lockout or whatever it was hit, and the Expos were top of the league and the rest of the season was wiped out, that kind of, I didn't follow it nearly as closely after that point. I mean, I'll still follow it a bit, you know, the playoffs, I'll catch it when I can. Been a busy week this week, so I haven't caught as much as I'd like to, but the little bits I have caught were pretty exciting. You know, the series so far have not been shutouts or anything like that. They've been back and forth.
And I am kind of anxious to watch tonight's baseball game to see how the Detroit Tigers can finish out. And that sounds a little bit exciting, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a good friend of mine, she works in Detroit, and so I've been to her place a bunch of times to watch games, yeah.
Okay. You know, this is bad. I've actually never seen a Major League Baseball game in person.
Well, I've had the pleasure of being in the Sky Dome a couple of times. I've had the pleasure of being in the Big O a couple of times. And I've had the pleasure of being in Tiger Stadium a couple of times. So I've had a chance to see a few ballparks. How about you, Father Travis? Have you been to a few?
No, I haven't. I've always wanted to go to a Blue Jays game, but I'm just not a baseball fan, so.
Well, that's a great line to take for the Sports Fathers.
I know, sorry.
Well, hey, I basically said the same thing, right? I do know that a number of people that I'm friends with or that I follow on Twitter or Facebook or whatever definitely are fans. You know, there's some of them were very disappointed, like when the Braves lost. Others were very excited when the Red Sox won, etc. My dog, who you can hear in the background, was very excited when the Dodgers won.
It was Chloe pulling for the Dodgers then, apparently?
Sure, why not?
Okay, that's good.
Just happy the game was over, I think. My dog, who's sitting here right now licking. But anyway, there's a visual for all of our loyal listeners. But what we would like to hear from our listeners, because we know we have a number of you guys down in some of these cities that have teams that have been in the playoffs. What have you been thinking of your teams? I know we've got listeners down in LA and in Boston and so forth. What do you guys been thinking of the way your teams have been playing? We'd love to hear. Go to thesportsfathers.com and let us know.
Yeah, that would be really exciting because, I mean, I've heard from a few listeners over the years, like a few different fans. So it'd be really exciting to see what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Like, do they get as excited for playoffs, you know, in these early rounds as a team in Canada might? Because we don't make that many playoff series up here.
Well, I know the 2 years when the Blue Jays made it to the World Series, me and a good friend of mine, we listened to every single game on the radio. And there were some Detroit Tiger fans who were incredibly passionate. And I had the pleasure that year of being a good friend, having a good friend. She was Philadelphia Phillies fan.
Oh.
And they were too incredibly passionate.
Mitch Williams.
Yes.
Wild Thing.
Yes.
Joe Carter's walk-off home run win. Remember that? Yes. Well, that was awesome. 93. 20 years ago. Can you believe it? That was 20 years ago. Yeah, that's crazy.
You're getting old.
Yeah. What can I do?
Stop time?
Sure. Well, speaking of old, there's an old time debate that's been going on in hockey for many, many, many years. And now that the NHL season's started, it's really flared up again. There was an incident in the preseason, a couple of incidents in the preseason that have carried on into discussion even now. The big one in the preseason was when George Parros for the Canadiens kind of slipped on the ice during a fight with Colton Orr against Toronto. And landed on his face and got relatively seriously injured from that. And so the debate's been coming up whether or not fighting should continue to be allowed in the NHL, allowed in hockey, whether it's helpful to the game or not. Obviously, a lot of longtime fans of hockey are very supportive of fighting. It's the excitement that it adds, the sense of honor that it might give into the game. And so there's a lot of debate that's going on. So what do you guys take on this? Do you guys agree with fighting? Has your view shifted at all over the years?
The only thing, I mean, as long as those who are throwing their fists can also score a few goals, like Dave Tiger Williams, he could always score a few goals, and Dave Schultz and the rest of the Brock Street Bullies, they could always score a few goals.
And Tiger Williams had the best goal celebration in the history of hockey too.
Exactly.
Right, a stick down the ice. Oh, the characters of the game. Good Saskatchewan boy.
Yeah, and what does fighting really, like, especially if they're not scoring, if they can't score those goals as well, what is fighting really contributing to your team, to the game? If it's just entertainment for the fans, like, really, if you're not getting entertainment out of the game actually being played, then you're not watching the game, right?
Unless you're seeing it, you know, to take the advocate on the side of fighting, although I think my views on this have changed over the years. The idea of having an enforcer on the team who can basically try to keep the other players and the other team honest or avoid them taking cheap shots at your star players, for example. I think that's been one of the views or one of the roles for fighting in hockey for many years. Like, how often did you see Steve Yzerman get hurt from a cheap shot when Bob Probert was on the Red Wings?
Very, very few times.
Or, you know, when Steve Semenko was on the Oilers, you know, Gretzky got caught in the trolley tracks once, I think, and that was about it. Gretzky got in his fights too, but I mean, I don't know if you can call those fights.
Yeah, like Crosby fights.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
I don't know. I see checking against the boards or, you know, hitting like that. I think that's enough enforcing, I would say.
And the fact that there's a couple refs on the ice.
Yeah.
And there's like rules against a lot of this stuff. I think, you know, I used to be very much in favor of fighting. It is exciting. I mean, there's no question. It's exciting. But I think in light of a lot of the research that's been done in recent years with regard to concussions, and especially I was reading a book recently about Bob Probert. Probert passed away, a couple of years ago? And just hearing how the fighting in the game and the head injuries and all this kind of stuff, the lifestyle affected him, affected his health, affected his relationships quite substantially. It was almost a heartbreaking read just to hear, or just to, you know, to read everything that was going on in his life. And obviously it you can't extrapolate to the entire league based on one guy, but for me it was kind of an eye-opener that you know, fighting can really take a toll on someone. And as much money as you can make in the NHL, I don't know if it's worth wrecking the entire rest of your life with head injuries.
That's certainly a really serious question I think people need to think about. Is, you know, the head injuries are going to be there forever.
Yeah.
But I often look at things like fighting and stuff like that. I had a very short hockey career back when I was much younger. I think I played about 8 years, scored about 10 goals over those 8 years, and I led the league in 20 minutes each of those 8 years. So after that, I kind of realized, yeah, there's not much need for goons in the league. So I kind of packed my gear up then and moved over to football field.
Yeah. What level did you make it to in hockey?
I was playing house league hockey. I think we were level A.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad.
And then by the time I got to high school, I realized, well, my high hockey career is not going to go anywhere. But so let's turn my attention over to football field. Made a lot more sense for me. I think God has given me a lot of good things with my hands, but scoring goals wasn't one of them. Maybe scoring the odd touchdown and picking up the odd interception was a lot better.
And I mean, I think in hockey and in football, for that matter, they've been doing a lot of work to try to eliminate concussions, adjusting equipment, adjusting the rules with regard to headshots and these kind of things. And it seems to me that there's a big inconsistency in the rules when you can allow a guy to swing a fist at somebody without, you know, worrying about getting suspended. But, you know, heaven forbid if his shoulder should ever contact his head when his helmet's still on.
Yes. And well, one of the really good things of looking at all of the stuff as related to concussions, all of the coaches are learning so much more now too, especially football coaches and hockey coaches are learning how to teach kids properly how to tackle or to teach kids properly how to take somebody into the boards. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Like, I think, you know, a good, clean body check, I think that's totally fair game to me. Knock a guy off the puck, you know, knock him out of the play for a couple seconds. That can be a real advantage, a real momentum shift for your team.
It makes a big difference, anything like that. Just to change it up. If you can go from having, like, a 3-on-2 to having a wide-open breakaway, it can make a big difference in a hockey rink.
For sure. Now, I realize that everything we've said so far, we might be getting a bunch of listeners who are absolutely fed up with the line of reasoning that we've all been throwing out here. You know, what we're saying, I realize, is quite controversial. So if it is, if you hate what we're saying right now and you totally disagree, or for that matter, if you do agree, actually, especially if you do agree, we'd love to hear from you. Head over to thesportsfathers.com. Let us know what you think. But we would love to hear what your views are on this.
And we are going to be writing a letter to Bettman stating that fighting gets removed from hockey. Signed, the Sports Fathers.
Yeah, we want to know also if you're watching the Major League Baseball playoffs, how's it been going for you? If you're an NFL fan, who's your favorite team? How have they been doing? If you watch the CFL, how much do you love the Riders and Darian Durant? And I hope it's a lot.
Well, it's got to be a lot. And I mean, I would be really excited though to let Darian take a play or two off more often, only to give Drew Willie a few more snaps and put him in the backfield and change things up a little bit.
And for Drew Willie to have the option to actually throw a pass, because if all he's doing is plunging ahead for a yard, that's not exactly going to instill fear in the other team.
And I mean, one of the things I think about too, if Drew Willie just keeps doing that, the chances are down the road, concussions might come back to haunt him too. I know they're not there yet, but they might come back to haunt him with that much banging around the head over and over and over again. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Anthony Calvillo is reported to be symptom-free of the concussions now, so he's starting to practice and get back into shape. That's good news for him.
CFL had a poll. If Anthony Calvillo returns for the playoffs, does he make the Alouettes a Grey Cup contender? I voted yes, but I looked at the results and 32% voted yes and 68% voted no.
I'd vote no.
Okay.
Just the chemistry, I think.
I would vote no, too. Yeah, because I would be very, very surprised if the Montreal Alouettes can get past the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and then if the Hamilton Tiger Cats can get past the Argos, that would be a big shock, too.
Yes.
So whoever Montreal is starting a quarterback come the playoffs.
Especially if Ricky Ray comes back, too.
Yes, exactly.
So Winnipeg is in Montreal next week.
Upset time? Yeah, right. No. But as much chance of that as Edmonton upsetting the Riders, I think.
Ooh.
Well, talking about Winnipeg, there was a little thing on TSN this morning when I was looking at it that Winnipeg's coach is pretty excited. He's looking for a job to come back again next year. He thinks he's done a pretty good job this year.
With the players he's had, I think he added in there.
Yeah.
I think he said it a little nicer than that, but I mean, really.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been having a lot of fun here for about the last half hour or so. We'd love to hear from you, dear listeners. And also, I've got to give a shout out to Greg and Jennifer Willits from thecatholicsnextdoor.com. Thank you for the shout out. And if you want to go check out a cool podcast down in Denver, go to thecatholicsnextdoor.com. And we very much appreciate the shout out on your show. And with that, we hope everyone has a great week, great evening, great weekend, great Thanksgiving if you're in Canada. Happy Thanksgiving.
Father Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today as well.
You're very welcome, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners.
Yes, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Until next time, keep fit and have fun.
Perfect. God bless, guys.
God bless.